Good morning, good afternoon, God bless you. Welcome to the room again this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. God bless you. I want to go and do today. We've been, you know, every day we've just been, you know, going and going and going. And sometimes we go from one series to another. And although, you know, I do allow reactions and feedback within the lesson itself each day, you know, I find that, you know, there's just a lot that we're piling on, and we need to put the brakes on sometimes and just do a review where we're at, what we're learning, and so forth, and make sure, you know, that, you know, we're getting the full benefit of these lessons, you know, and repetition and review, that's a good thing. It's a law of long and lasting impression, some people say. So today we're going to do a sort of a review. We can take questions and answers. We can give some testimonies about these lessons that we've been learning under the Shadows of the End series. The Shadows of the End series. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's what we're going to do today. Lord, we thank you, we give you praise, and give you glory. As we share again this review over the things that we've learned, we ask that you shine that light in our hearts and bring understanding. You know, help us to catch up with the things that the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. We give you, Lord, the praise, and we give you, Lord, the glory. Even today, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, a quick review, Shadows of the End series. Why did we even call it that? Well, because we are close to the end. We've seen so many signs. You know, we're right there. We're not quite there, but we're very close to it. And a shadow cannot really be disconnected from the real thing. It's close to it wherever it goes. So we're right there, the shadows of the end. And there are some of things that God has promised us. We've been looking back over the what was in the mind of God concerning man from the beginning. And so now that we are at the end, we know that it is paramount that we understand these things, because this is where God wants us to be at, where he's taking us back to what was in his mind from the beginning. You know, sometimes along the way, I mean, we've experienced some of the things that God called us into, but sometimes they were lost. Sometimes we've had gaps and so on and so forth, you know, and we're now getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord. What are the things that must happen before the coming of the Lord? Matthew 24 and verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And then shall the end come." Right away from that verse, we see that the end cannot come until this gospel of the kingdom, not just some gospel, not just anything we want to preach, but, you know, this message and this good news. That's what gospel is. This good news of the kingdom of God must be preached all the world for a witness. And because we want the end to come, the Spirit and the bride is saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." Well, that's why we must preach this gospel of the kingdom. Now, there are many gospels, so-called, that are being preached today, but that's not going to bring the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is going to be the gospel of the kingdom. how that Jesus himself began to preach the kingdom of God. Even before Jesus, John the Baptist, introducing that kingdom, passing the baton unto Jesus, Jesus himself showing us many, many facets of that kingdom, teaching through his lessons, through the parables, and many things. And we see that most of his lessons, he taught using plain language so that people could understand. He didn't try to be too mysterious. You know, occasionally he would drop some things, which sometimes it passed over the people's head anyway. You know, then some of them will come closer and say, "Hey, what was that all about? Explain it to us. And why were you speaking to them in parables?" And he would tell them, you know, the reason was because Isaiah already prophesied it, that these people will hear, but they will not understand. They will see, but they will not perceive. You know, the light will not enter into their hearts, lest they be converted. I mean, my goodness. But for you, he said, blessed are your ears that hear these things. And blessed are your eyes that see these things. You know, we see that Jesus himself, he prayed to the Father and said, Father, I thank you because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. And we see that in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and I was answering a question that was posed to me the other day, even outside the room, on the things that, you know, Jesus said to the church in Laodicea. And it appears that I may have left out the anoint your eyes with eyes off part. The gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. White raiment that you may be clothed. And that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eyes off that you may see. Revelation 3 and 18. This is what Jesus said. I counsel of you. Now, we know gold tried in the fire, you know, that is real and the true riches. And it comes from sometimes digging deep, you know, the word of God, the hidden manna. You'll never find gold on the surface. You got to dig deep before you can find it. And when you find it, it may still be covered with all kinds of dirt. That they have to put it through the refiner's fire, thousands of degrees of heat, to purge all that out and bring it out. You know, this is the essence of our faith, the real faith. You know, and that's what brings the true riches of God. Not standing in the perimeter, but going all in. White raiment, the righteousness of the saints. Not hypocritical, not a hypocritical walk with God. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all the people all the time. So ye Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, you know, well has Isaiah spoken of you and so on and so forth. And he spoke to them and said, look, you are they that make the outside of these graves, you're like whited sepulchres, beautiful on the outside. People paint these graves, they put the headstone, they put flowers, they put all kinds of things there. But inside, dead men's bones, rottenness. You know, and Jesus said, look, you guys, you clean the outside of the plate, the outside of the cup, but you don't do anything on the inside because you're all about what man can see. You know, but the Spirit of God sees on the inside. And so he began to tell them, you need a true righteousness, you know, so that your shame will not appear. Many will be ashamed on that day. Jesus said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was a story of a man that Jesus told a parable. You know, he said, look, go out there. My house needs to be filled. You know, go and get more people to come in. And when they did, at one point in time, he looked and found someone there that didn't have the right garment. He said, what doest thou, friend, here? How come you came in here? How did you get in here? Without the wedding garment. The culture in those days, invitations and wedding garments, you know, used to be sent, you know, and this one, he got in there somehow. We don't know how, but didn't have the right garment. So again, we could see that he had nothing to show for himself, you know, praise God. Well, the white linen, we're told, is the righteousness of the saints. And blessed are those that die in the Lord henceforth. Their works do go before them. You know, so now works of righteousness cannot save us, but those are the ones that get us the rewards. And this man had nothing to show. You know, and he came in empty-handed, and he was tossed out. And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, weeping and gnashing of teeth is shame. When others are being rewarded, you know, asked to come to the table and given a seat in the table and dining and shining in the glory of the kingdom of God, then others that are left out got no reward because they wasted their lives. They will be ashamed. The shame of your nakedness do not appear, because they will have no garments. Sometimes the garment is not only in the righteousness of the saints, which we know, but also their works do go before them. Now, let those that are saved, let our company be careful to maintain good works. Behold, I come quickly, bringing my reward with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. And those that will be found naked, because they didn't have the right works. And so we see that. Now, anoint your eyes with eyes of. Jesus already prayed that prayer. Father, I see that you have blinded these ones. The wise and the prudent, you didn't give them the knowledge. That's how it seemed good in your sight. So be it. But I thank you for these ones that you have revealed them to. The wise did not get it, but the babes got it. And Jesus told disciples many times, blessed are your eyes that see these things, and your ears that hear these things. But there be many prophets and kings and righteous men that are desired to see these things, but they couldn't see them. You know, so anoint your eyes with eyes of means come unto me. Jeremiah 33:3. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, I will anoint your eyes for you that you may see wondrous things out of God's book. You know, the psalmist prayed that prayer. You know, teach me, show me, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of thy law. You know, these are all the things that are wrapped up in that one verse. And we've talked about the hidden manna. We've talked about, you know, not just staying in the perimeter, but going deeper, even beyond the showbread. Showbread is out there in the open view. Well, not exactly open, but at least those who can cross over beyond the first veil, they can get the showbread, which is in plain sight once you get inside the first tabernacle. You know, the plain bread is there. But then there was a hidden manna somewhere tucked inside the ark, someplace deeper. And we've talked about, you know, the various stages in this journey from the profane place, which is even outside the border. There were the tribes of Israel positioned three on the east, three on the west, three on the south, three on the north. They formed the border. And all the Gentiles were beyond that border. And none could come into the camp unless they were part of the Jews. You know, but then the majority of the people are in the, what is called the outer court. Well, as you proceed from the outer court to, you know, press towards, I mean, if you stay in the outer court, let's put it this way, the light is too dim there in the outer court. You know, it's too far away from the source of light. And majority of the people, that's where they're at. But there are some select few, much fewer in numbers than the majority of the crowd that's in the outer court. They are actually privileged and called to go into the, you know, they go beyond the outer veil. They can go in there. They can experience the showbread, which is in plain view. They can also experience the candlestick, the light from the candlestick, which we call is the menorah. Some of these things, you know, represent both the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and various things, you know, that people get, you know, but there is more. I mean, why was this not sufficient? Why was something had to be tucked in a way called the hidden manna? Why? You know, and then we see that they can even experience the golden altar where the flesh must be killed. But Jesus said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so all this journey from the outer court to the, what we call the holy place. And then beyond the holy place, there's the most holy place. Various elements along the way. And there are different places that you can learn those things from. Exodus 25, especially Exodus 26. I mean, basically, Exodus chapters 25 through about 30 give us a depiction of these things. And then Hebrews chapter 9, coming back and explaining it in a summary. And then finally, for the one person that can cross into, I mean, beyond the inner veil, he's called the high priest. But it's only one person that can go in there. And that depicts for us a one-on-one union with Christ. And nobody can go in there with you. Not your husband, not your spouse, not your wife, not your pastor, not your prophet. It's you and you alone. And ladies and gentlemen, let me quickly talk about one or two things right here. You know, there are some places in this journey and this walk of faith that you must experience alone. You cannot, and nobody go in there with you. I may talk about it later, maybe take a lesson on this sometime. You know, and this is one of them. And, you know, in a place, in this place of full concentration upon the Lord, you come into a place of brighter union. In the outer court, at best, it's 30-fold. Jesus gave the parable in Matthew 13 of the seed that fell on good ground, bringing forth 30-fold. That's the best you can get in that outer court. Bringing forth 60-fold, you could probably get that in the inner court because you got, you know, you got more. In the outer court, you've got the brazen altar, you've got the lava. People can get some things, you know, they can get salvation, they can start to get discipleship, start to be cleaned up. But the deep calls unto the deep. The more you go deeper, you get more things. In the inner court, you can probably get a 60-fold. But still, there's various things. The things that keep people out of the inner court is sin consciousness. We talked about that because they say, you're not good enough to come in here. You're not one of the Levites. You're not one of the priests. You can't get in here. Well, once you do get in there, if you happen to be one of those people, then again, you think you're better than all the others, and you're not. You know, again, that's self-righteousness. You know, it's two sides to that veil. Sin consciousness on one side, self-righteousness on the other. Neither one, you know, is good for us on this journey. But even to get into the most holy place, you got to cross another veil. And the thing that's keeping us back, mostly that other second veil, is need consciousness. You know, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, and so on. Whereas the Lord said, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, but I don't have a child. So they need consciousness. And it keeps us back from experiencing, you know, the glory of God in the fullness, obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you finally can make it in there, the one-on-one relationship. We also talked about the, you know, stages of moving through this. Just like I described, you move through the, you know, being an unbeliever outside the kingdom. You move into salvation. You move into discipleship. And then you move into, you know, serving the Lord and so on. And, you know, at best, a servant is still not a son. There's still at best, there's still a servant. We talked about, you know, in Exodus chapter 33, how we're told that God spoke to Moses as a friend, speaketh face to face. So, but with face to face tells us that you're still separate. You are looking at him. He's here. You are here. You're over there. He's over here. So there's still a gap. And that's the best they could get to was being a friend in that Old Testament. But now, revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has propelled us into something that is beyond, you know, that encounter. Yeah, we can encounter the Lord here and there. Now we move into, you know, union with him, habitation. And he calls us sons. How do you get there? Well, if you obey my word, if you love me, you will keep my word. And I will love you, my Father also. Come and make our abode. That's habitation. So we move through all of these processes. And Jesus said, yeah, when you go in there and you can get through all of that, I will make you a pillar in the house of the Lord that you go no more out. No more in and out. You know, we are now there. The life of Jesus also depicted that relationship. John chapter 8:29 says, I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. I have that constant communion with him. He never will leave me because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so these are the blessings that the Lord is teaching us. And, you know, finally, if we are able to get rid of all the distractions and hear what the Lord is saying, we recognize that he's trying to bring us back to a place where Adam fell from. And that's what Jesus came to teach. I mean, it was important for him to bring that lesson of how do we get that restoration. Along the way, we've also talked about an understanding of why Jesus came. It was more than just to die. The death, his death was the opening up of that covenant, the new covenant to us. Because until the testator dies, the covenant is of none effect. But the death alone, in that whole process of the testator, is not the end game. It is the thing that gets the people the inheritance, you know. So let's not just, you know, stop there. Yes, that was critical because without it, we couldn't do it. And we couldn't get in there. And we could not receive all the benefits under the new covenant. This is a new covenant in my blood, he said. You know, so we couldn't get it. But once we get in there, what is it that was in that covenant that he came to bring to us? Well, it's all the things that are packaged in the kingdom of God, which was what Adam was supposed to have access to, and he did for a while, but which we lost. And in that kingdom, we talked about the benefits of the kingdom, what it looks like, you know, our own relationship as ambassadors of that kingdom, you know, how we must represent and not speak of our own, and all the benefits that come with it. We even talked about, you know, the characteristics of the kingdom. It has a constitution, which is the word of God, the Bible. It has a king, and it has citizens. And in this kingdom, Christ is the king. His subjects are also kings. So I would call him King of Kings. I mean, there's many things we've talked about for weeks in here. And, you know, finally, we're in a place where we are, you know, just, I mean, reflecting the glory of God. We're now in the image of the Christ. Finally, that's the journey. The journey all through that to get back to the express image of God, just like Christ was. Christ was made, you know, in the form of a man to show us that it is possible for us who are born in the form of man to come into the image of the Christ. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans 8 and 29, that he might be firstborn among many. Not the only one, but the first one. And returning us to that glory. And Jesus himself said, if I do not die, John 12 and 24, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he abides alone. But when he dies, he brings forth more. And so we see, here we are, the sons of God, now coming forth, looking like the Christ. We also talked about what did the Son of God look like, and what should the sons of God look like? We talked about the process from being born as a child to being presented as a son, and the process in between, the journey that we must go through, things that we must pick up, jewels that we must pick up along the way to add to our crown, which then makes it called a royal diadem. And along the way, also the character that we must build until we become just like the Christ. And when Jesus was being presented at the baptism in River Jordan by John the Baptist, heavens opened up. The Lord, was right there. Spirit of God opened up, and we heard a voice. They heard the voice. I said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Christ having not done a single miracle that we know of at that time. So we see that it was the character, it was his development for all those 30 years. Now he was ready. He looked like God. He would be obeyed in everything. He was subject in everything. And the Father presented him. So unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is presented or given. And we talked about the journey of the Son, who, even though he was the prince, but when he's born as a baby, Galatians chapter 4, is nothing different than a servant. And all the training he must go through before he can come into full sonship. These are all the things we've talked about. Now that's a summary of all the things we've been covering. Now I'm going to turn it over for other questions and answers or testimonies or your own feedback if you haven't had a chance to do that the last few days. I mean, that's a wrap up on the, you can never exhaust this subject of the shadows of the end or the transformation. The transformation from all the way from the profane place through the outer court, through the inner court or the holy place to the most holy place to end up at the mercy seat, which was even placed above the ark. For from there will I commune with you, the Lord said. So long journey, but you know, step by step, Holy Spirit will guide us. So we talked about all these things. And where are you in that journey? Everybody's journey, we also talked about it, is unique, just like your fingerprints. But where are you in this journey? Ezekiel experienced a vision that he participated in Ezekiel 47. At first, he was on the, you know, banks of the river. And, you know, the water was barely touching his feet. And then after he being taken 1,000 cubits inside, the water was up to his ankles. Could have stopped there, but the vision went deeper, showing us that, look, there's always more. That's a hidden manna. That's obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he went deeper again. The waters came to his, you know, knees. And he went deeper again. The water came to his loins. He went deeper again. The water came to his shoulders. And he went yet deeper. The water was way above his head. He could not even wade through it. He had to swim. And so we see that, the more we go, the more we get. It's deeper and deeper revelation from the Lord. And you can choose any level you want. You can be satisfied on the outer banks. You can be satisfied when the water is at the ankle. You can go deeper and also on and so forth. But if you somehow persist through the grace of God and you're able to get, as far into that water as possible, where it's even over the head, so to speak, then we see a tremendous thing that happened. He experienced something that he could not even understand, because now he sees that, this water is now flowing as a river that's giving life, and he says it shall come to pass in Ezekiel 47 and verse 9, it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth wheresoever these rivers, after you've experienced that transformation, the rivers that will now issue out of you, like Jesus said, what it will do is it, when it touches anything, that it will bring life. There shall be a very great multitude of fish. This is the transformation, and this is the end result, out of the belly of him that believeth in him, in me, shall issue forth rivers of living water, Jesus said in John chapter 7. And we see now that those rivers, anywhere they touch anything they reach, brings forth life. Wheresoever the rivers shall come, anything they touch that moveth, they shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and all of them that the waters come in touch with shall be healed. And every living thing shall live whithersoever the river cometh. Now that's the result that this transformation will produce. So we may go deeper in along those lines later on in the future, but that's what we've been trying to project. So that's it. I'm going to leave it there, and I will open it up for Q&A, questions, comments, testimonies, your own review, your own thoughts to help us cover what might be for now a wrap up of this series. Now we can go later into deeper aspects because you really can't exhaust this, but I wanted to leave it there for now because too much of this thing might be an information overload all at once. Let's process what we've learned so far. God bless you. Thank you for listening. That's going to be my own review. Let's hear your own thoughts and welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, and everyone, welcome to the Shadows of the End series, today's review, and let's talk about it. God bless you.